两宗跨国杀妻案涉及三条人命，凶手逍遥法外20年。
其实我们的婚姻只是形式上还存在，实际上已经没有了。
中国商人瑞典受审，在最后一刻他从庭审漏洞中逃脱。
威胁我，如果不按他要求的数字和期限付钱，将不会那么容易的见到儿子。我感觉他是在利用我对马尔戈斯的爱，在满足他的生活要求。
母亲被害，父亲是嫌疑人，苦命少年如何面对人生困境？20年后，贤兄被捕消息传来，他对案情又如何看待
？I don't want my father to die。
请看本期《M 二档案》，中国商人与两任妻子命案之重大进展。8月21日，瑞典国家公共广播电视台 SVT 以及其他主要媒体报道，涉嫌杀害瑞典女子 Veronica 及其邻居的案件有了新的进展。中国籍嫌犯、死者的丈夫、邻友已经确认被捕，目前正被羁押在大连市。第一时间，瑞典国家电视台的纪录片制片人 Jonas Magnusson 就发邮件通知了我们这个消息。他确认说，中国警方已经联系了瑞典的检察官和受害人 Veronica 的亲属，向他们通报了邻友被正式逮捕的消息，也希望瑞典方面能够配合中国警方共同侦办邻友一案。
The information we have is that it's legal documents connected with the trial here. 4,000 pages of investigating material that they got together during all these years. The Chinese policeman seems like he wants to have contact with the prosecutor in Sweden to get these documents and this information. Mm-hmm. What is interesting is that all these documents, they are public in Sweden. I mean, anyone can get them. So I don't know if the Chinese police is badly informed, because they could contact the Chinese embassy. I mean, anyone can get them. But I think that's what they've been asking for, that kind of information.I think the China side wants to run the case now, because it was before when he was arrested in Sweden, China asked the Swedish authorities if they wanted to hand him over, and we said no. And now I think when China got him, I think they want to run the case. That's the feeling at least. Yeah, yeah.
由此啊，这桩时间跨度长达20年，情节一波三折，审判前后逆转，当事人身份极为特殊的案件再次进入公众视野。嫌疑人的被捕对受害人的家属来说一定是个百感交集的消息，尤其啊是 Veronica 以及邻友的儿子 Marcus。 母亲被害时呢他才4岁，而如今他已经25岁了，长大成人。
Väldigt oväntat. Det hade gått så pass lång tid sen den här rättegången i Sverige, och det kändes nästan som min pappa var osårbar. Så jag var väldigt förvånad att det hände.
就在3年前的2021年，瑞典国家电视台的制片人 Jonas 制作了一部纪录片，名字叫做 Veronica and the Chinese Millionaire， 翻译过来呢就是 Veronica 和中国的百万富翁。这个纪录片啊，详实记录了 Veronica 受害案的经过，回顾了 Marcus 的童年。
Det är min pappa, Linjo. Han var lekfull och kanske lite barnslig, men det är man som pappa.
生日快乐，1岁生日快乐。
从早期的影像资料里头，还能看到他英俊富有的父亲林友，美丽贤淑的母亲 Veronica， 一家三口明明拿的是北欧童话里头幸福美满的家庭剧本。然而随着母亲的遇害， Marcus 的生活被彻底改变了。这一切究竟如何发生？为何发生？他希望真相能够早日水落石出，解答他多年以来心头的疑惑。2023年11月，在这部纪录片的启发下，《M 二档案》制作了一期节目《神秘富豪与两任妻子的命案》。里面啊，报道的邻友除了在 Veronica 受害案中侥幸逃脱之外，在其第二任妻子玲玲的被害案中也有重大嫌疑，但是却一直逍遥法外。这个节目呢，勾起了很多中文观众逐渐淡化的网络记忆。毕竟啊，林友案当年在网络上实在是太热了。他姐夫是王健林，外甥是王思聪。很多人认为林友的逍遥法外跟他们家族的超能力不无关系。我们的节目不仅是在 YouTube 上播放，在哔哩哔哩和抖音等大陆平台上的播出呢，也受到了更大范围的关注。 这也就引起了制片人 Jonas 的注意。这就是为什么当案件有了新的进展时呢，他会第一时间联系我们。我们也跟 Jonas 进行了视频连线，从他那儿得到了令人吃惊的一手资料，并在他的帮助下采访到了林友和 Veronica 的儿子 Marcus。为了叙事的完整性啊，咱们先简单回顾一下之前那期节目。2003年3月，年仅31岁的 Veronica 在哥德堡被残忍杀害，留下了年仅4岁的儿子 Marcus。同时被害的还有 Veronica 的邻居唐先生，而这两条命案的最大嫌疑人就是 Veronica 的丈夫，中国富商林友。他涉嫌雇凶杀害了跟他提出离婚的 Veronica。根据瑞典方面的调查，案发后林友和凶手逃出了瑞典。2年后，瑞典警方获得了去中国的查案许可，前往大连调查取证，结果自然是无功而返。2014年12月，林友在英国机场转机的时候化名林鱼，没想到还是被面容识别出身份，随即被捕并被引渡到瑞典受审。他先是被陪审团判有罪，面临终身监禁，但是在一周后，戏剧性的一幕出现。他的律师指出，那12位陪审团成员当中的一个人资格背景上有问题，原判决被推翻，林友无罪释放。除了瑞典的两条人命，林友还被指出在2013年在泰国苏梅岛豪宅内谋害了他的第二任妻子林玲。
Helt plötsligt så kommer det ett mail till min maillåda. Och där står det då att Lilly då är mördad i Thailand.
มีหญิงชาวจีนคนหนึ่งครับถูกพบว่าเสียชีวิตอยู่ในสระน้ำในบ้านพักตากอากาศ
这个林玲啊，成为第二任妻子之前呢，曾经是林友的秘书，当年还给林友安排过去瑞典的行程，包括购买机票，或许啊，知晓林友的很多秘密。2005年，瑞典警方到大连找林玲了解情况的时候啊，曾经提醒过他，说你处于一个很危险的境地，千万要当心。结果悲剧还是在几年后发生了。林友在瑞典逃脱，得益于他的律师在最细微之处找到了西方国家的司法漏洞。但说到底，林友雇凶杀人的证据链略显薄弱，检方缺乏实锤的证据，最后是陪审团从逻辑上推断林友有罪。而在泰国的林友第二任妻子林玲的被害案，据我们所知基本就没有展开正式调查。有重大嫌疑的林友在林玲被害后缴纳了100万美元的保释金，连夜逃回中国，回国后继续做他的生意，好像什么都没有发生。
我一直遵从当代经营之圣，叫做稻盛和夫的一句名言，叫做敬天爱人，就是敬奉天理道德，关爱众人，让先进的科研成果为人类的健康服务。
2023年10月，也就是 M2 节目制作之前的一个月，中国大陆的一位姓刘的律师在微博上披露出林友被捕的消息。他的帖子啊，虽然后来被删除了，但是网络上仍然有迹可循。从去年的微博爆料到如今的信息证实，人们再次看到了一个遥遥领先的预言的演变路径。那么得到这个消息的 Marcus 是什么反应？他对这个案件有什么期待呢？下面咱们就连线 Marcus。
Yep, all good.
Yep, yep.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time for this interview. We got in touch while you were traveling. Where did you go? How was the trip?
I went to Stockholm, and it was a fantastic trip. I spent some time with a friend, and it was very nice.
As you know, we also created a video based on that case that happened when you were only 4 years old. A lot of viewers, after watching that video, they are curious about how you're doing now. Are you studying? Are you working? What's your daily life is like? Can you share that with us?
Absolutely. Well, currently I am a student in Sweden. I am studying economics. I'm taking my master's degree in business economics. And a typical day in my life usually consists of studying and spending time with friends and family.
May I ask you first, under what circumstances you learned about the case? Was it your grandparents who told you about it?
When I was 3 years old and 9 months when my mother was murdered.
Yes.
And I was so young that I didn't really grasp the whole situation, what had happened. So I remember keep asking my grandparents, where is mom? Where is she? And even though it pained my grandparents to say it, they told me that my mother had been in an accident. They lied to me in order to shield me or spare me from the trauma of knowing that my mother had been murdered. So they told me that she was one of the unfortunate ones that did not get to live out her whole life. So I believed them when they said this. And it wasn't until I was, I believe, around 6 or 7 years old, something like that. And I discovered the truth. I found a videotape that had a recording on it. It was a news broadcast that told me that my mother did not die in an accident. She was in fact killed, and the primary suspect was my father. So yeah,
hard to process when you were such a young age.
Yeah, it really was. And I didn't tell my grandparents about this. I simply put the videotape back and went to sleep for that day. And it wasn't until I was 10 years old when my grandparents told me that I was old enough to know the truth. I kind of shocked them by telling them that I already knew everything.
Wow. It's hard to imagine all that you and your grandparents have been through during the past 20 years. So we all really, really admire your courage in participating in that documentary and seeking for the truth. All right, so yeah, let's talk about the case. So so I know in 2014, Lin You was arrested in the United Kingdom and then extradited to Sweden for the murder. He was convicted first, but then acquitted on appeal. What is your view on that trial?
Well, during the trial here in Sweden, a juryman leaked sensitive information about the case, and before the verdict was finalized, and because of that, the judge had no choice but to declare a mistrial. I believe that the Swedish legal system did a very, very sloppy job. I believe that they should have done a much better job at looking into the background of a jury member to make sure that he was not on the level of stupidity. I will say that my family was not happy about the trial had to be redone, because the first trial was bad enough because it dug up a lot of horrible memories for my family. I remember a picture that they showed at the trial. It was my mother lying on the floor in a pool of blood, and it was let's just say neither did my family. They did not want to experience that again.
Yes.
When exactly did you find out that Lin You was arrested in China and charged with murder, the recent updates? When you found out, were you and your parents surprised when you learned about the news?
After my mother was murdered, together with the neighbor Tang, My grandfather kept in contact with the Tang family. From time to time, wrote emails to each other, updating each other on what's happening, especially during the trial here in Sweden. And not too long ago, my grandfather received an email that stated that my father had been arrested in China. And the Tang family got this information from a Chinese policeman. Both my grandfather and I was very surprised when we heard this, because we were not expecting him to be caught. We thought that after the trial in Sweden, that he was practically invincible.
Doesn't understand why he was held in custody. Is there any guesses that what happened that caused the government to arrest him?
I am sorry, I can't read too much about this because my lawyer has advised me that it can cause some legal consequences if I tell too much. I don't want the trial to be redone in China as well.
Lin Yong's sister and brother-in-law, as one of the most powerful and wealthy families in China, they're very high profile, right? And especially your cousin, Wang Sichong, he's known for his outspoken personality, and he has become one of the most, you know, prominent internet celebrities in China. What's your feeling about him? Have you heard of some of his actions, his statements on the internet?
I have heard that he's quite famous in China from Chinese people. And I have to admit something. Maybe it's because how I was raised with my grandparents. I tend to not sit in front of my phone that much. I tend to sit in front of books. So I don't use social media that much, and especially not the Chinese social media. So I don't know too much about him, to be honest. But I have heard from some Chinese people that he lives quite a notorious lifestyle. And as I personally don't know what he has done, nor do I know his personality, I can't really form an opinion about him, to be honest.
You know, a lot of netizens, they accuse Lin Yong of being the demon who killed two wives and a coward who uses money and power to escape legal consequences. So, and during the conversation with Jonas, he mentioned that there might be a fourth murder that's on his head. Maybe, do you think, is it because of all these years what he have done has accumulated to this level, and at the end of the day, he, you know, just things just happen? Because there's a difference in the Chinese law and the Swedish law, right? I know that the most important thing the Swedish police give back to Chinese police is that you can't give the death penalty to him, but in China there is death penalty. So what's your pursue of in regarding to that, you and your grandparents?
Well, I want justice for my mother, and I want the right person to be held accountable for his crimes. And so it's important for me for that the truth comes out. And when it comes to the death penalty, if my father would be found guilty, I would not want him to face the death penalty, because I consider all deaths to be tragic, and I don't want my father to die, because if he does, I can never get any answers to my questions.
Of course, you have a lot of questions to ask him. like you said, but if there's only one thing that you would want most to say to him, what is it going to be?
Oh, that was a really tough question. I really put me on the spot. I don't know. It's only one question. It's difficult to say.
I believe during the years you have thought about this, you know, at night in your dreams.
I think I would want to ask my father I would tell my father that I am his son, and I want to know what he thinks about me. I want to know who am I to him. I think that is what I would ask him.
It might draw a lot of your bad memories, but I really appreciate your patience and transparency and honesty. Thank you so much.
Yeah,
we'll get in touch.
It's been a pleasure.
Jonas 的纪录片中还提到，林友后来有了第三段婚姻。2014年，夫妇二人有了一个女儿，但是天生啊有基因缺陷。在2018年公司活动中呢，林友强调了自己的公司研发高科技产品，改善了女儿的基因缺陷。
这是我的女儿，因为基因缺失，一年前她在过三周岁生日的时候还无法行走和吞咽食品。大家看
，His daughter,
yes，
这是现在的她。要做的就是让先进科学成果为人类健康服务。谢谢大家。
在之前咱们提到的新浪微博上，刘律师指出，虽然杀人行为发生在国外，但是根据中国刑法规定，中国公民在境外触犯刑法规定之罪的适用本法，也就是说，在中国一样是按照故意杀人罪追究，可能判死刑、无期徒刑或者十年以上的有期徒刑。结尾啊，这位律师问，这一次让我们来看看这位富豪还能逃脱吗？这也是绝大多数关注此案的人最关心的问题之一。到目前啊，中国国内并没有关于林友被捕的公开报道，警方以什么理由逮捕林友并没有官宣，仅是因为两起杀妻案，还是有其他方面的原因呢？如果是杀妻案，为什么现在才想起来抓他呢？总之吧，这里头还有很多问题等待最后的答案。从中国召回瑞典配合调查林友案，咱们仅就杀妻案来说，这里面同样也有很多变数。瑞典是没有死刑的，所以呢，如果要求瑞典方面配合，前提是中方得承诺不能判林友死刑，否则就违背瑞典的法律原则了。那林友是中国人，在中国审理，判不判死刑肯定是要按照中国法律来定，所以啊，瑞典司法方面能对这个案子配合到什么程度还很难说。大家在我们之前那期节目中知道啊， Veronica 案中出现了一个神秘的亚裔凶手，在谋杀现场和林友的酒店都有他血迹的 DNA， 他的名字音译过来叫张建松。瑞典警方发现案发前他是与林友以商务旅行的名义一起到达瑞典的，而早在2005年，瑞典警方前往中国调查林友和林友的第二任妻子林玲，当时也希望提审这个张建松，但是中国警方已经无法找到此人。所以啊，这次跟制片人 Jonas 的连线中，他就说，有可能这个张已经被灭口了。
Is that he disappeared in China. In 2005, Swedish police was admitted to go to China to make some interrogations.One of the people they were looking for was Zhang Jiansong. The correct name is Zhang Jiansong. But when they wanted to talk to him, he could not be found. He had disappeared.
Okay.
Yeah. So the theory from the Swedish police, who was the main investigator, is that Lin Yu could have been behind the disappearance.And we also have some information that the Chinese police today are quite interested in what happened in 2005 and why this person disappeared. So that's one interesting information. Then another one that struck me, because I made the interviews, is that Linu somehow spread a lot of fear or insecurity even in Sweden. It was difficult to talk to people even in Sweden, especially especially people who live in Sweden for a long time but have Chinese origin. I spoke to a lot of them or were looking to talk to them, but they didn't want to be interviewed. And I think it's the combination that Linu was, he had the suspicion is that he had murdered two people, but also that he come from a very wealthy and influential family. So the fear was among Chinese speaking people in Sweden, but also with people close to the victim, that they were afraid that he would do something more.
Jonas 的这部纪录片一共包含六集，每集时长大约是30分钟，制作质量相当精良，细致地还原了事件的每个细节。随着近期林友案被捕的最新进展，这部纪录片呢也被重新上架，引发了观众的广泛关注。最后啊，是个网络八卦。据说啊，每次林友出事儿或者是被网络热议的时候，王家都会出来转移舆情视线。比如说2013年第二任妻子林玲离奇溺毙于泰国豪宅的游泳池的时候，网络的焦点是林友到底是不是凶手，为什么作为头号嫌疑人连夜逃回中国。而这时候王思聪在网络上搞了著名的抽奖活动，最大奖是万达筹备多年砸重金终于开业的长白山度假村双人游，成功的转移了大家对舅舅的注意力。2024年6月18日，也就是瑞典方面证实了林友被捕的4天前，微博上突然出现了大量黄一鸣女儿认爹的信息。黄一鸣呢，曾经参加过选秀节目《青春有你》第二季，但是呢，唱跳的水平普通，离出道位差得远，节目后就转型成了一名网红，也没有受到太多的关注。可是自打他自曝未婚生女，到声称自己的女儿闪闪，就是传说中王思聪的私生女，相关内容一度霸榜热搜，更有网友放出了视频截图，把小孩和王健林的长相进行对比，说一看就是他们老王家的骨肉啊。有人说啊，这单纯是女方在炒作蹭热度，也有人说是王思聪和黄一鸣的联手炒作，更有网友们把这个事儿说成是王健林和王思聪父子在网上的异动，意图转移大家的视线。而现如今的网络环境啊，可谓是纷繁复杂，乌烟瘴气，要真的想从里面过滤出什么正经的信息，可能比侦破 Veronica 谋杀案的难度还要大。而这次林友被捕，恐怕也不是王家能盖得住的，也许啊，他就是多米诺被放倒的第一张牌，咱们还是拭目以待吧。感谢收看 MR 档案，咱们呢，下期再见。